T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia are ears and eyes at the NFL Scouting Combine. Or is it the Tombine? Yes. Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard joining us now in the sports bar to give us the latest from Indy. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Matt, tell us what you're seeing, what you're going on right now. Have they started the drills, everything? Where are you doing this interview from right now?
I'm doing it from my hotel room because it's the only place I've had reliable internet, and I have a lot of stuff to catch up on from the week. They started the event at 4 o'clock. You can find that on NFL Network if you want to kind of put that on in the background and watch all these guys. This is the day to do it because this is going to be the receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends. Get out there, run a little bit, do some drills. So that'll be fun to watch.
When I hear that guys like Chase Young isn't going to work out, or that Joe Burrow isn't going to throw, do you feel as a fan, are you like, oh, God, really? I mean, these guys, you can't blame these guys, right? I mean, if you're Chase Young, your stock is never going to be as high as it is right now. And the only thing you could do by participating in drills at the combine is hurt your stock, correct, Matthew?
Yeah. And if you're a Bills fan, I mean, what do you care about those two guys working out anyway? They're not in play. So I think that, for most fans in the NFL around the league who are fans of specific teams, that even if those two guys did work out, yeah, you want to watch the best kind of work out, I guess. But you're focused on guys that you're going to have a shot at. And let's be honest, nobody's got a shot at those two guys except for the Redskins and the Bengals.
As far as receivers at 22 that the Bills might have a shot at, we know that the Brandon Bean can't line up as many interviews as in years past, but are you able to track who Brandon Bean and his staff are indeed talking to so far?
Yeah, they've had some conversations with Laviska Shenault and T. Higgins, who I think are two of the top targets, if you will, as well as Henry Ruggs out of Alabama, who has a history with Brian Daboll. He was a freshman, I believe, in Daboll's last season at Alabama. Said he was a great players type of coach that he thinks he could fit into his system in Buffalo. And I think these three guys are kind of the targets at that number 22 spot. I think there's a chance, depending on how well T. Higgins runs. I put up a story at the website over Syracuse.com yesterday on Higgins. He's saying that he's going to run around a 4.5 or maybe under. If that happens with his size and jump ability, we're talking about a top 15 pick there. So you'd have to move up to get a guy like that. But, with how deep this receiver class is and getting a chance to talk to a lot of these guys, I really think the target's going to be edge rusher. I think that this Kelavon Chasen out of LSU is a home run type of pick for Brandon Bean. The type of guy similar to a Tremaine Edmonds or a Josh Allen, where you'd be willing to move up a few spots to get him. He talked today at the combine and he was electric. He said that he's the most valuable player in this draft because of everything that he brings: the pass rusher, his ability to drop into coverage, and just his athleticism and dynamic playmaking ability. You look at some of his highlights and the way that he gets down close to the ground, his bendability is a real fun term that's thrown around this week. And he's just an athletic freak. And I think if you can add a guy like that with some of the question marks on this defensive line for the Bills, Shaq Lawson, I think, is more likely to return than Jordan Phillips, but they both could be gone. Trent Murphy, you can move on from that contract, save $8 million. Bring in a guy, a can't-miss type of guy like Chase, and makes a lot of sense.
Matt, yeah, I think a lot of people kind of assume that the Bills would go wide receiver, get weapons for Josh Allen in the first round. I like where your head is at, and I think that's more the likely scenario, that the Bills would do something in the first round to shore up the defense and then maybe even trade up in the second round to get a wide receiver that they might still see as having value right there. We also, when we heard from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott earlier, and you know, Brandon Bean talking about the interviews and talking about his process of interviewing these players, I mean, we've known this about these guys, that they want to bring in a specific kind of guy, meaning the character has to be in line with the talent. Do some of the names that you're seeing align with the Buffalo Bills kind of fit that mold, that Buffalo Bills process mold?
Oh, definitely. And I think that, you know, Chasen is a good example. Laviska Shenault, who I spent some time talking to with a group of reporters yesterday, Tuesday, was 2 days ago. The days are all kind of lumping together here. Yeah. But when we got a chance to talk to him, he's a guy that obviously brings a dynamic skill set, but he's really grounded, has a really good work ethic. And, you know, I asked all of these guys, like, how much do you love football? Because that's what really pops to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They want guys that when they come in here, it's not a job. It's a way of life. And, you know, Chasen really, you know, I think that I don't think I'll do another mock draft that doesn't land the Bills Chasen unless he tests crazy off the charts this week and you'd have to trade up into the top 5, 6, 7. I remember last year, you know, Ed Oliver going into the combine, I'm pretty sure was a lock top 3 pick. He ended up going 9. So things move around quite a bit. 2 years ago, or was it last year, Oakland selected Kellen Farrell out of Clemson, which was a complete shocker. He was going at 15 in a lot of mock drafts, or 20. That's kind of where Chasen is going in a lot of mock drafts. So this is a guy that could go top 5 after all is said and done. So this is the fun part about the offseason, is constantly trying to figure out where these guys are going to go. And, oh, by the way, in a couple weeks here, we have free agency. And I still think that, you know, everything that Sean McDermott said this week about the, you know, building at the line of scrimmage, which we know the cliche he said over and over again, they're still not satisfied with what they have in the offensive line. And he was asked about adding playmakers in this draft and wide receivers, and he said, yeah, that's great, but you can have all the playmakers in the world, but if you can't block for your quarterback, what good is it? Which leads me to believe there's a good chance they could go offensive line at 22 if one of these tackles falls. Sean McDermott was asked about Cody Ford and his stability at right tackle, and they said, we're not convinced that he's a right tackle. He left the door open to moving him inside. So there's plenty and plenty of options, and I think that the Bills are in a good spot because I think no matter what, you have a GM that can take best player available, and they're going to get the best guy on the board at 22 if that's where they stay.
I thought that was fascinating, too. We picked up on that, too, Matt, that talking about the Cody Ford versatility. Okay, well, that may be true. If you're a tackle, you're a tackle. That's where you should be. And if he bounces inside, how might the dominoes fall there? Because you have John Feliciano, but then you could move him over to the left side. So the idea that you could draft a tackle or sign one in free agency, does this come down to whether or not you re-sign Quentin Spain? If what would you think the Quentin Spain market would be then, Matt?
Yeah, I think Quentin Spain, I mean, going a whole season without giving up a sack, coming off of a one-year prove-it deal, he proved it. He's going to make some money. I think he's the second or third best guard on the market. I know Brandon Sheriff in Washington, they're working on a deal, and if not, they're going to tag him. And the Bills are not going to tag anybody. And I think that the thing with the Bills is they have a collection of guys, even like Spencer Long, already on the roster that you can plug into these different spots. And you have the, you know, I was having a conversation last night with somebody very familiar with the Bills, and they think that if he can stay healthy, Ty Inseki is a real, real great option on the outside at left or right tackle. So, I mean, you already have guys on this roster where you have some flexibility, and now with that flexibility because of what they've built, they can go out there and get a guy to plug in, whether it be in free agency or the draft, and then go from there. But one thing is for sure, Sean McDermott, I asked him specifically about Deion Dawkins with the looming contract extension. He's going to get paid a lot of money. Do you view him as a left tackle? And he said he has earned that distinction. So That's one guy that's locked in, as is Mitch Morse. The other three spots, they're movable parts at this point.
Hey, one of our listeners, one of our regulars, actually brought this take to us earlier today, and I want to get your opinion on it, Matt. What about the idea, and we've kind of seen that the Bills and the Redskins do have some kind of a synergy there, and that synergy, I would imagine, would only be it heightened now with Ron Rivera as the head coach. Trent Williams has said he wants a new contract or a trade. Would you make a deal, give up a second or a third for Trent Williams if you're Brandon Bean?
I mean, I would. I think that there's, I think Trent Williams or, you know, in free agency, and Anthony Costanzo, who has the connection to Bobby Johnson, I think those are upgrades at the left tackle spot. And then that, you can move Deion Dawkins. But after this week and the way Sean talked about Deion, he's their left tackle. I think that they're bought in to what he brought last year. And Trent Williams, he's a left tackle. And moving him over to the right side, it probably can be done. I've not done enough research or watched enough tape to figure out if that's a feasible option, is to plug him in on the right side and then move Cody Ford inside. But I just think it comes down to how you view your personnel. And I think they view Deion Dawkins as, in year three, he went out and earned that distinction in that spot. And going forward, I think that they're probably on the, you know, the doorstep of a big-time contract extension. And from everything I've read and seeing it, he's going to get around $15 million a year. You don't give that to a guy unless you think he's your guy at left tackle.
Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, our guest here. He's out in Indianapolis for the Combine. Matt, the running back position, it's been devalued as the game has evolved to more of a passing league, but I think we all can agree the Bills right now have a glaring need to pair up Devin Singletary with someone, and there are some attractive names on the free agent wire, but if the Bills elect to go in the draft and it's not a first round, what is the value in this draft if the Bills decide to wait to, say, round three or four to address the running back position?
Yeah, there's plenty of value. And actually, this isn't a super top-heavy draft from everything that I've studied and the people that I've talked to about the running back position. There's a few guys at the top. Swift out of Georgia is one of the top guys. And that could be the only guy taken in the first round, depending on how this thing shakes out. But the late value, it's off the charts. But it's funny, when we were talking to Sean McDermott, the question was asked about T.J. Yeldon. And with Frank Gore likely not to return, where's their confidence level in him? And McDermott raved about Yeldon. So I don't know necessarily if it's as glaring a need as we might kind of assume here from the outside. And I think it's something that, you know, they still have some options. I know that fans love Christian Wade. I don't think that he's going to factor into things in 2020, but, you know, who knows? He was very dynamic with the ball in his hand in preseason, but I think that they're going to hit both. I think that they're probably going to hit the position, another TJ Yeldon type back in free agency. The high end might maybe a Jordan Howard on an affordable deal, a guy that could come in here, kind of be that bulldozer that could take some of the pressure off of Devin Singletary, where you're not asking him to clang and bang in between the tackles as much and save the wear and tear on his body a little bit.
Man, if they're raving about T.J. Yeldon, then why didn't he get more of a shot last year? I mean, Frank Gore faded down the stretch after Yeldon fumbled in the preseason, and he did it again in the Cincinnati game, and to me, that was it. So is McDermott saying that he's beyond his fumble problems here?
I don't know, and I think that's a great question, too, because I was kind of shouting from the rooftops that I thought he could have helped them down the stretch, and Sean, you know, kind of confirmed that to me. He said he was big in that Tennessee game, but when Devin Singletary was still out with the hamstring injury, had that big run off the running catch to set up the winner there, and I think that T.J. Yeldon's an experienced guy. I do think that he had some fumble problems, but I also think that he wasn't being asked to do a lot. So I think that sometimes when you're not in a rhythm, you know, at the skill positions, that can hurt you a little bit. I thought when they signed him, I thought it was a really under-the-radar move. He's a great pass protector historically. He's great in the passing game, and that's the kind of complementary piece that you want. Can you count on him for 10 carries a game? I don't think so, but maybe they know something that we don't.
Matthew, what about a replacement for Lorenzo Alexander? We know that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both discussed what they can do to fill that hole this offseason.
Yeah, I think there's a few options. There's some guys that you can kind of go out there maybe late in the draft and maybe do it by committee. If they can go out and get an edge rusher, in the mold of a Chasen or some of these other guys that are available, that brings the pressure aspect, because that's something that Lorenzo Alexander was, good in coverage and a heady veteran, but his ability to rush the quarterback was really where his value was. So that's something they're going to have to replicate. He had to be accounted for on the defensive line. So now it's about going out there and finding some guys that could do multiple things. And, the Giants released Alec Ogletree. I think that's a really, really interesting option if you can get him at a low cost to come in here and kind of take care of the back end. Really good in coverage. Watch some of his tape over the course of this last week, and he can maybe take care of that piece, and then you go to the draft and try to get one of these guys that can help you rush the quarterback. Because, it's funny. I thought Jerry Hughes and even injured and Trent Murphy, the way they dialed things up down the stretch, I know they're a year older, but if that was a preview for what's to come and they could do that a little bit more consistently in 2020, then I think that you have something there. But that's the question. Can you count on them doing that consistently? Because they didn't do that consistently all last season.
We saw the Bills renegotiate the contract to Star Latulele. And every day they're seemingly, you brought up Ogletree, the Browns cut dead weight, the Redskins did with Norm. Are the Buffalo Bills, what are the chances that we're going to see a veteran like a Murphy here? What are you hearing, Matt, in terms of potential cap casualties, if you will? Or should we be confident that everything is going to be kind of the same here as we head to free agency?
I think that the more probably, I think the thing that probably is more likely to happen is that they maybe take care of somebody in their own free agent department, maybe a Shaq Lawson that maybe gets locked up before the start of free agency. But I think it's going to be, there could be a move here or there, but it's tough to predict that, because as we get closer to free agency, and they're so entrenched in the draft process right now, the way the NFL does this is actually, this is my second combine, second year through the beat. It's kind of weird because, there's sections. You kind of take early February, start really diving into free agency, and then it's like you got to halt and go full draft for a week or two, and then it's all right back to free agency. So, it'll be interesting. There's a lot of conversations going on down here, a lot of drinks being shared, and little whispers going on, but no, I haven't heard anything.
Matthew, we call this season the season of lying here, the pre-draft season, where, you'll hear GMs and you'll hear agents and you'll hear teams say things that just end up not being true. And we call it the Tombine, jokingly and lovingly, because it feels like the only storyline that's coming out of Indianapolis is, where is Tom Brady going to play in 2020? Based on what based on what you've heard there in Indianapolis, what's your sense? What do you think might actually happen here with the future of Tom Brady?
I think pretty much everybody's convinced, especially after Darlington's report this morning from ESPN, is that he is not going to be back in New England. And now we have to start preparing ourselves as a Buffalo Bills community for the post-Brady era and what this actually means for potentially Bill Belichick. I saw a story today or a tweet about the fact that if Brady leaves, what's the likelihood of Belichick returning with potentially Jared Stidham at quarterback? And obviously there's a lot of free agent options. Phillip Rivers is out there. Who knows if maybe they can convince Matt Patricia to deal Matthew Stafford, or although they did come out and say that they're sticking with him, or Jameis Winston's a possibility as well. But, at 68 years old, he may not want to, reconstruct this thing completely, especially coming off of a year where this offense really, really struggled. They're going to lose some pieces on defense, most likely. I'm not sure if they could sign Van Noy and Jamie Collins, who were both big pieces of that defense. So, it's going to be a whole new world. I think it's crazy for Tom Brady to leave Josh McDaniels, because I think wherever he goes, even if there's weapons, the synergy is not going to be there with the system. And to do that after you played your entire career, 20-plus years in one spot, in one system, I think that's really taking a chance. But he wants to get paid. It's about his brand. I think that he wants to branch out. And listen, he is in the news right now. It's all about Tom Brady, like you said, and it's going to be fun to see what happens. And from the Bills' perspective, as schedule or not, you know, travel miles or not, Tom Brady's not there. The Bills are the favorites to win the AFC East, and you can. And I will be on record, unless something crazy happens in free agency or a trade or something like that. I think this is already close to the best team in the AFC East, and I think they're definitely that if Tom Brady's not there.
You don't think there's something up Belichick's sleeve, that the plan B is trade for, say, a Cam Newton or get one of these quarterbacks somehow? I mean, I'll be so happy if it's Jared Stidham, Matt, but to me, I'll offer you the counterpoint here. That is, you know, what we saw at the end of last year for Tom Brady, that's not going to get any better at age 43.
Yeah, I like that point too. That's kind of where I was going with that. I already think that, you know, with what they were able to do against Tom Brady, I still remember that game in New England where they gave 400 plus yards when Tom Brady and that offense were struggling, and the Bills just, you know, kind of laid an egg in that game. But no, I see what you're saying, and I, you know, if they can bring in a quarterback that they trust, you know, a guy that's proven and done it, and a guy like Cam Newton or Philip Rivers, it makes sense. But it's still not Tom Brady, and those guys, you know, outside of that one season for Cam, they haven't really been winners. Well, Cam's been a winner. I'll take that back, at Auburn and what he did is the Super Bowl year. But the wear and tear on his body, to ask him to come here in a new system, they still don't have any weapons. Like, you know, there's a chance they're going to add some, but, you know, Amari Cooper's probably going to stay in Dallas. The guy they're really paying attention to from all reports. And then there's a whole lot of nothing on the free agent market. And then they're going to have to, you know, hope that one of these guys lasts to number 23 and they have other needs. So, you know, I'm not sold on anything going on in New England and everything that's happening in Buffalo, the space, the picks. Hey, we're about to enter a whole new world.
Matt, great stuff as always from the NFL Scouting Combine there in Indianapolis. Let our audience know what you're working on at NewYorkUpstate.com that we can read up on.
Yeah, we'll have we have a bunch of stuff up at the on the site now with a lot of the prospects I'm working on. As you can tell, my draft crush has officially become Kelavon Chaisson out of LSU, and I actually had the Bills taking him at 22 in my mock draft that I put out before the combine. And so we'll have a lot of stuff. There's video up on the site from his press availability. We'll have a story today on him and, you know, what he thinks he brings. And I'm also going to deep dive on what I think this week told us from the player's perspective and the Bills' perspective about where they're going in this draft.
Now, Matt, safe travels back here. You know, here in Rochester, we got, what, a few inches? Not too bad, but in Buffalo, getting clocked there. So, I mean, you got out of town at the perfect time, buddy.
I know, and I'm driving, so best of luck.
Safe travels, man. Right. Safe travels. Get back safe. Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia from the NFL Scouting Combine. We have more NFL news and notes to share next with appetizers. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
So we'll give you the latest here on the negotiations. Actually, it's now to the players, and some players now weighing in on social media, yay or nay. We'll tell you who's coming down on what side. News from the Chiefs. Of course, we have an update on Tom Brady here. News about Philip Rivers, the Browns, the Bengals, former Buffalo Bill, maybe on the street, and more.
All right, that's all on the way next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.